Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Congratulations, you made it on this cold but beautiful day. If you would, stand with us together as we sing this great song of praise, House of the Lord. Let's sing this together.
So glad you're here. to worship with us today. If you have elected to worship online, we're thankful that you're there, and we invite you to make sure you sing with us and participate with us. Grab your Bible and be ready to read along with us a little bit later. We would love to know if you are participating online, whether you are a regular member who lives far away, didn't feel like you could make it in today, or whether you're a first-time guest online. If you'll follow the prompts on the screen, we'd love to know that you're there, and I'll make a contact with you this afternoon. If you are in the room, it's an honor to have you here. If you're a guest in the room, it's an honor to have you. We would ask you to please scan the QR code on the back of the seat in front of you and fill out the guest registration, or use the tear-off of the worship guide you received. We have a gift to send you in the mail you will like and appreciate, and so we hope that you will take time to fill that out. We're so thankful that we can gather together. Who enjoyed the snow on Friday but glad it's gone today? Come on. Woo! All right. Some of y'all, I can't tell if that means you wish it was still here or you didn't like it at all. But either way, it was a great time together. I'm thankful we can meet today and gather together today. Listen, it's so important that we do gather. This morning, I was reading, getting ready early this morning for the service, and just sitting at breakfast, read this verse from Romans chapter 15. Listen to this. Paul said, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus." First of all, he calls him the God of endurance. Guys, aren't you glad that God is the God of endurance? Listen, if he was not a God of endurance, he would have given up on me a long time ago. No offense, but you too. He's the God of endurance and encouragement. Just gathering in here today with this number of people, gathering together with our friends online, listen, this is an encouragement to me that we get to be together. And then it says this, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Listen, we can't read the Apostle Paul saying, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, and not welcome one another. So let's stand up, if you will, find four or five people and tell them you're glad to see them, glad they survived Snowmageddon. Let them know. All right, friends, make your way back and remain standing. God is so good to us. I want to pray for us. Let's pray together. Father God, we take a moment to pray for our church of the week. We pray for Bethany Baptist Church in Horton, Lord, that you would move in power among them. Lord, we know that today they are gathering just online as they have some construction in their worship center and alternate location that doesn't have the heat and set up the way it's needed. So God, I pray even if they are a church that is scattered out across the Horton community and across Albertville and Boaz, Lord, I pray that today would be a special time of worship for them. We pray for Brent as he leads a congregation. Father, we take a moment to pray for our missionaries of the week, D and H, who serve in Senegal, West Africa. Lord, we know them well. They are friends of ours. They are from our area. We're so thankful for them. God, my prayer is that you would move in power among them today. Lord, I pray that you would give them opportunities to have gospel conversations with people today. And Lord, I pray that they could experience your goodness and grace, that they would know who they are in you. Father, I pray the same for every person in this room, every person on the radio, every person who's participating online, that we can know who we are in Christ, that we weren't made to be tending some grave somewhere. We've been called by name, born and raised back to new life. God, may we live as resurrection people now. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. You know this song? Let's sing it together, guys. Lift this up as your anthem this morning.
I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only a star. Now I am chosen. Free and forgiven. is running my way. I know I am yours, and I was made for more.
Sing, I was made.
And I was made to be tending a grave. I was called by Him, born and raised back to life again. And I was made for more. So why?
Sing this next song of praise, this beautiful hymn, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Isn't it beautiful? It's perfect. It's the name we worship this morning in spirit and in truth. So join us as we sing this song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell
Be seated, friends. Each year, we usually have, probably once a quarter or every season or so, a song that sort of becomes a theme song for us as a church. You've noticed it. It's happened for several years. It'll be a new song that you hear repeated time and time again. And without a doubt, over the last couple of months, I have really felt led toward this song that the choir is about to introduce to us. You're just not going to find a better declaration song and worship song than this. So the choir just heard the song for the first time Wednesday night. So you're learning it just like them. So just listen, if you will. And it's easy to pick up on towards the end. You can sing with us, but it's a beautiful message. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Let this be our theme for the start of 2025.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. Strange and divine, I can sing.
God, we sing those words, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Paul has taught us that it is Jesus in us. Lord, you have shown us that it is Jesus in us. You are our way maker. You're our provider. You're our sustainer. You're our enduring Savior. So, Father God, we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you that it is not anything we could do on our own. It is Christ in us, Christ through us, Christ for us. So, God, help us to rely solely on him. Father, every person in this room, every person who's participating online, every person who's listening on the radio, one thing I know for sure, there will be a day that their race will be complete. And Father, my prayer and my hope is for every believer that when the day comes that our race is complete, Father, that we could enter into your presence. And as Revelation chapter 14 tells us, that our deeds done in your name will follow us there, and that we can lay those crowns at your feet. And Father, that you would be able to say, well done, that we've lived our lives in a way as your sons and daughters, we've lived your lives in a way that honors you. Lord, help us to learn how to do that today as we study in 1 Peter. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated, friends. We have another standalone message today and next week. The following week is our missions conference, and then we begin a brand new series that will take us from the 1st of February all the way up to Resurrection Sunday called Good News. I'm very excited for us to be able to share together. But for today, we're in 1 Peter chapter 3. And let me remind you that last week I talked about, or excuse me, 2 weeks ago, the idea that every Sunday or every month of the year, we will have a different question. The question this month is, what does love require of me? And so again, today we look at that through 1 Peter chapter 3. Listen to verse 8. It says this: finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Now that's five commands. They're easily spoken, but they're not necessarily easily lived out. But here's the problem. When you take one verse like this and you pull it out, you have to know the context to understand. So let's talk about context for a moment. Who's talking and who are they talking to? Well, it is Peter who is speaking. And it's important to know who's doing the talking. I'll give you an example. About 10 years ago, a family began to visit our church here at First Baptist. They've not been here for several years, so I feel safe they're not going to hear this today. But about 10 years ago, they began to visit here at First Baptist and came for a few weeks. The first week, I sent them a note in the mail with a little gift. That's sort of my custom of what I like to do and my habit for folks. And then a couple of weeks later, I decided that I would give them a call because I wanted just to let them know and begin to engage in relationship. And so I looked up the number that I had and I dialed it, and the man who had been visiting answered the phone, and he answered it with some dirty words. Now, I mean a couple of pretty big cuss words. And he said, blankety blank, you better not be a blankety encyclopedia salesman. And I said, well, this is Pastor Chris from First Baptist Church. And he was much more embarrassed than I was, I can tell you that. But it was, you got to know who's talking to you. It's important to know who's calling you, who's talking to you. He needed to know, and he did not know, and he figured it out real quick. And my caller ID, for some reason, still to this day, shows that I'm from Arab, so I look like a salesman. I'm not. He thought I was. So every time I run into him in our city, he doesn't attend church anymore. But every time, since that moment, anyway, but no, he did. He came. Every time that I see him out and about, I wanted to know that I'm still offering grace for him cussing me on the phone, but I also want to remind him that we need to watch what we say. So every time I see him, everywhere I am, no matter how big the room, I say, would you like to buy an encyclopedia? I say it to him every time. So it's fun. It's fun. Okay. So you got to know who's talking, but you also have to know who's talking to you. It's the context here. One other story really quickly. I've told this one here before, but it makes sense. I don't know. It might have been 5 or so years ago. I was in Walmart doing some grocery shopping one Monday morning, and I was there walking around, and a guy's coming. I'm headed this way down the aisle. A guy's coming the other way down the aisle, and he looks me dead in the eyes and says, I just need somebody to pray for me. And I thought, well, he must know I'm a pastor. I don't know who he is, but, you know, maybe he knows who I am. So I walk up to him as he turns to get something. I put my hand on his shoulder, and he jerks around and looks at me. I said, how can I pray for you? And he shows me he's got a Bluetooth earpiece, and he was talking on the phone. If you do that, I hate you. I just want you, I mean, I love you. I love you in Jesus, but I don't like you, okay? And so he was talking to somebody else, and he thought a lunatic just put his hand on his shoulder like, I'll pray for you. He should have went for it, but he didn't anyway. So you got to know who's talking and who they're talking to. Context matters. So in this passage, let me set the stage for you. Peter is sharing an incredible letter. I think 1 Peter is one of the most incredible letters in all of the scripture. And here in 1 Peter, it's important to understand who he's talking to and who he's addressing. He says in chapter 1, we won't read it, but verse 1, that it's to multiple churches in Asia Minor. I talked about this Wednesday night just a little bit. It gives us a context clue that this was not a letter written to one man. This was not a letter written to even one church. He names the different churches that are spread out in Asia Minor. That means he was talking to Jewish people. He was talking to Gentiles. But he was definitely talking to people who were under persecution. That's important to know. People who were being persecuted and were about to have grave persecution as the Emperor Nero was starting to ramp up his hatred towards believers. And so it was just a mess in what was happening here. And so he's addressing them to encourage them. But then he defines even better who he's talking to. In chapter 2, verse 13, he says he's talking to believers who are citizens and how they interact with the government. In chapter 2, verse 18, he addresses believers who are slaves and believers who are masters, employers and employees, indentured servants. And then in chapter 3, he says he's talking to believers who are husbands and wives. So really, as he starts with this overall swath of I'm talking to every believer in Asia Minor, he works his way down to where you can see what he's saying applies to you and to me in different ways. And then in the very next verse, Peter says this, 1 Peter 3:8, what we just read, finally all of you. So he's named citizens and government. He's named slaves and masters. He's named husbands and wives. He's named churches all throughout Asia Minor. Now he says all of you. So listen, this is for you. If you want the context, what he's about to say is for you and for me. It was to be read and passed on. And so here we are, 2,000 years later, reading it and passing it on. He says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. So it's for all believers. It's for that person sitting next to you. It's for the person listening on the radio. It's for the person who's watching online in another state. It's for encyclopedia salesmen. I mean, it's for everybody. It's for all of us. So let's look and see what he tells us to do. He starts with this, have unity of mind. Now, I have always been amazed at how God has brought unity even to just the faith family at First Baptist Albertville. We are not a difficult faith family. We're not a place full of people that don't like each other. We are not a hard place to be a family. But even here, it seems impossible that we could have unity of mind apart from Jesus Christ. I want you to think about the church as a whole, but even just think about our church. I've shared this before, but in this room, there are Republicans, there are Democrats, there are independents. In this room, there are Southerners, there are Northerners, there are people of Hispanic descent in the room, people of Haitian descent in the room, people of English descent in the room, there are Alabama fans in the room and Auburn fans in the room, introverts, extroverts, white-collar workers, blue-collar workers, there are teetotalers. There are social drinkers. There are free spirits. There are people who are routine junkies. They've got to have a routine. There are followers in the room. There are leaders in the room. There are followers who want to be leaders and leaders who want to be followers. There are people who silence the phone, and then there are people who want to talk and text like you're in your living room in church. I know who you are. You know who you are. There are hand raisers. There are non-clappers. There are note takers. There's some nap takers in the room. I know who you are too. I won't call you out. So the whole idea of having unity of mind, does that not seem impossible? How in the world, from such vast backgrounds, could we possibly be a group of people who could assemble together and love one another and care for one another? How is that possible? Well, I love how Warren Wiersbe said it in the commentary. I'm not going to read his whole paragraph, but let me just read a little bit. He says, unity does not mean uniformity. It means cooperation in the midst of diversity. He says this, Christians may differ on how things are to be done, but they must agree on what is to be done and why? To honor Christ, to win the lost, to build the church. Our methods are definitely sometimes different, but there's plenty of room for variety in the church. I love that idea. That unity of mind is not about that we agree on every decision. There are some people in here that wish we'd had the 8:30 service and don't understand why we didn't. It's just maybe we're not united on that. Not a big deal, right? We're all here, thankful for that. But then there are big things that we can maybe think differently about how we ought to do. And it's okay to want to do things differently if we had the same purpose and the same understanding. So let's talk about unity of mind with our purpose and direction. Can we agree, and I want you to answer with an amen, can we agree that our calling is to glorify God by making disciples of all people? Can you agree on that? That's our calling. Can we agree that the greatest commandments of God in the Bible, he tells us, are to love God and love others? Amen? That's what he tells us. Can we agree that there is no price too high to see more people come to faith in Jesus? Amen. It's the truth. If that's the case, then we can have unity of mind. The methods are going to change. They've changed a lot over the years. They'll continue to change, but the message stays unwavering. So let me ask the question, what does love require of you? Love requires unity of mind. Love of God requires that we be united. Again, it doesn't mean you have to agree with your neighbor on everything, but we must come together on our purpose and our calling and make a decision that that's where we'll put our money, that's where we'll put our prayers, that's where we'll put our manpower hours, our resources, that's where we'll use our campus for, that we'll use it to honor Christ, to win the lost, to build the church. That has to be our goal in 2025. Let's keep going. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, as we've talked about, have unity of mind. Then he says, have sympathy. Have sympathy. What does it mean to have sympathy? It means to feel what other people feel. To strive to thoughtfully understand other believers. I live my life a long time with a lot of assumptions. And I still can assume from time to time, but I have learned, I believe, as I've gotten older and I hopefully wiser in the Lord and closer to him, that it is so difficult to understand others' thoughts and intentions. It's very easy to judge people for their actions and their reactions if you don't know the context of their life, if you don't know what they've been through, where they've come from, what they're going through at home. And I've got to be honest, over the course of my life, I've been wrong about people many times where I just assumed they were just mean, when really they were just trying to cope with some difficulty in their life. When I've assumed people were just angry, when really they were just hopeless. When I've assumed that people were a horrible spouse because I hear what one spouse says and I come to understand that it's just difficulty in life. And so for us, having sympathy means that we try to open our eyes to try and see people and feel what people are going through the way God would do so. I have been wrong many times with this. I love the Abraham Maslow quote. Many of you will probably have learned this in school. He says this, I suppose it is tempting if the only tool you have is a hammer to treat everything as if it were a nail. What does that mean? You're the hammer and I'm the hammer. What we know is our own feelings, our own context, our own background. So we tend to judge everybody else by our context, how we were raised, how we believe, how we want to teach. When the scripture would teach us, we need to begin to see people the way Jesus sees them. Some of them come from a horrible, there are people in this room that had horrible backgrounds and horrible difficulties. And listen, it is a miracle from God that they are in this room today, and we celebrate that. Then there are others in this room that you're going through something right now that is a secret in your life that no one else knows about. But the reality is you are searching for one more little bit of hope. And friends, it's a miracle of God that you're here today, and I'm thankful. So it's important that we learn to have sympathy. It's the idea that we learn to feel that and understand what that means. So what does love require of you? Love requires sympathy. Ask God to help you see people the way he sees them. Now listen, that'll wreck your mind from time to time. Ask God to help you see people in the grocery store the way he sees them. Ask God to help you see people at your workplace the way he sees them. Ask God to help you see people under your own roof the way he sees them. Let's keep going. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all, that's every one of you, have unity of mind, have sympathy, and then have brotherly love. Brotherly love. The New Testament has a lot to say about brotherly love. If you have a sibling, a brother or a sister that you love, How would you define the source of that love for them? It's not because they do things for you. You love your physical brother or sister, not because they have a checklist that they complete in your life. It is defined by relationship. It comes from blood. It comes from a chosen relationship. So this idea of brotherly love in the scripture that Peter's talking about is about choosing to relate to one another in a specific way. Now, I know we took a moment to say hello to each other, but I got to be honest with you. That doesn't make us a relational church. In fact, because it was so fast, even though you're trying to hug a neck, shake a hand, give a fist bump, speak to someone warmly, that's important. But with the speed it had to happen, that in itself is also somewhat transactional instead of relational. Real relationship slows down. Go through the scriptures in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read and what Jesus does. Not who he speaks to. Read what Jesus does, and then you'll see who he talks to and what he says and all this. But you will see over and over when everybody else is in a hurry, Jesus slows down. He walks slowly through the crowd. Now, I know that is the anti-American thing to do because life is busy and fast and we've got places to go. And if I get out of the car, I want to walk fast everywhere I go. I don't understand walking slow, and I get that. But in life, we need to learn to walk slowly through the crowd to begin to stop and to show brotherly love to people. Now, how do we do that? We have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us be in relationship with one another. We as a church body, we're family. Families have good days and bad days, happy days, sad days, but we're better together in relationship. So I want to encourage you, if the only part of our faith family you get is this room, it is hard to be relational in this room. Let me prove it to you. If I were to ask you right now, this is crowd participation, and if you don't do this, this isn't going to work. So I need everybody to participate. I don't want you to talk loudly. I don't want you to whisper. I want you to talk in your normal voice, and I want you to speak to the person who's sitting in front of you. But don't turn around. You're speaking to the back of the head in front of you. So I want to give you about 20 seconds to talk about whether you are someone who's in favor of and enjoyed the snow day and what you did, or whether you wish snow would never come back ever again and that heaven's never going to have snow, whatever you think would be the case. I want you to do that. So you got 20 seconds. Everybody speaks. You're only speaking to the back of the head in front of you. If you're on the front row, just sit in silence and give me just a moment, okay? All right. So, all right, here we go. Ready, set, go. Talk to that head. Come on, tell him. Don't turn around. Don't look beside you. Talk to the head in front of you. Some of y'all are telling jokes. I can see it. Don, I said, don't turn around. Okay, you get it. You can stop. Most of you have no clue what that person said. Why? You cannot have relationship in rows. Now, don't be offended by that. We are a relational church, and we want to grow in that. But relationship is a struggle to happen in rows in this room. Really, there's one person talking and several hundred people listening. And I got to be honest, that in itself is not even super relational. Now I want it to be, but let's be real. I'm not in relationship with all of you right this second in this moment. And the truth is, you're really not in relationship with the person in front of you. You may know them and have a relationship with them, but it's not happening in this setting. So what I want to encourage you as believers, as we start the year, the best thing you can do is turn around. The best thing you can do is get in a circle. The best thing you can do is reach out and join, if not a small group in Sunday school, join a small group, discipleship group, a men's group or a ladies group. There are several organic groups that are happening right now. I'll tell you this, as an invite to men in this room, there's three men that myself and the three of them, so there's four of us total, we've met together for 4+ years now. And we have decided that it's time for us to continue to meet once a month together, but we're going to ask some other men to join in and have four different groups. And so the reality is we have walked in relationship together and it's been awesome, and our relationship will continue. But we want to invite in others into that. So if you're a man in this room who says, I desperately need, or maybe not desperate, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you say, I want relationship with other men. I want to grow in Christ with other men. Come see me. We'll get you in one of those groups. Now, the different men who are leading, well, I won't tell you who they are because you might want to pick your own group. We're not going to do that. But anyway, so you just let me know and we'll get you. Doesn't mean you have to be in the pastor's group, okay? I'm just telling you. But listen, we'd love to help you get connected. But guys, that's where relationship happens, in Sunday school small groups, in small settings, going out to lunch together, spending time together outside of here. I'm not trying to discount what we're doing here. I'm simply saying it's hard to show brotherly love sitting in a row. So if we really want to show brotherly love, it has to be relationship. So I hope that you'll make a renewed commitment this year to dive into relationship. Now, some of us have some fears and phobias that make it difficult for us to want to be in small groups. I get it. I'm not trying to guilt you into anything. But for those that can, I want to encourage you to give it a try because it's important and it will be helpful. Let's keep going together if we can. What does love require of me? Brotherly love. Now, 1 Peter 3:8 again. Finally, all, that's all of us, of you, have unity of mind. Be focused on the same things. Sympathy. See others the way Jesus sees them. Brotherly love. And then a tender heart. Have a tender heart. The original language would tell us to be kind-hearted and compassionate. Now, you've heard me say this before over the years, but the word for compassion in your Bible is the same derivative for this idea of a tender heart right here, and it's the word splanchna. That's the root word. And the word splanchna literally means your gut. It's the idea of compassion is something you feel in your gut. If you see something horrific that happens to someone, they take a terrible fall, and you're so sad to see it happen, where do you feel it? You don't feel it up here. You feel it right here. You know what I'm talking about. It's the idea that compassion is felt. It's love and genuine concern that is felt in our lives and then lived out. So this idea of being tender-hearted, it's a calling for you and me to feel compassion for others. Now, I know myself, life gets busy enough, I can rush past people. But again, it's that same idea we've already talked about, slowing down. When you see someone near you in need, have compassion for them. My prayer is if you've stopped feeling it in your gut, that you will ask the Holy Spirit to enable your compassion to work again. Ask the Holy Spirit to take your compassion and grow it so that compassion can be one of the character qualities that people would say about you. Wouldn't it be awesome someday when your race is complete, like we sang about earlier, if people are standing in line talking to your family saying, man, Chris was such a compassionate person. You were such a compassionate person. That's what I hope can be said of us, a character quality that we need. So what does love require of you? Compassion. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you with that. And then lastly, it says this, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Have a humble mind. The word humility is mentioned over 80 times in the scripture, humility or humble. It is one of the key character qualities of believers. Why is humility and being humble so important? Because it is the exact opposite of pride. And pride is the root of all sin. Pride is the root of the first sin. Pride is the root of what will be the last sin someday, whenever the last sin is committed. Pride is the root of every sin you've ever committed. You can take it back to the idea that we want what we want. It goes back to pride. That's why we sin. So humility is a beautiful, God-given, God-shaped quality that helps us to see ourselves for who God has made us to be. It helps us to see others for who He's made them to be. I've used this quote, I bet 20 times over the last 7 or 8 years, but I love this quote from Lisa Turkhurst. A lot of our ladies have probably done Lisa Turkhurst Bible studies. She is such a wordsmith. Listen to these words. She says, humility bowed low and humiliation tripped and fell, but both ended up on their knees before God. Let me say that again. That's really good. Humility bowed low on its own, and humiliation tripped and fell, but both ended up on their knees before God. The reality is you and I will end up on our knees before God. So will we humble ourselves, or will humiliation come along because it's the antidote to pride? And so I want to encourage you and me to humble ourselves before the Lord, to make a regular practice to get on our knees, to make a regular practice to stop and to bow our heads, to make a regular practice to stop and to see yourself for who God has called you to be. Remember who you were, know what He did to make you new, and see yourself for who He's calling you to be. That leads to humility. Listen, we all know how easy it is to let pride creep in. Pride causes arguments. Pride causes divorce. Pride causes pain and anger. Pride causes businesses to dissolve. Pride causes relationships to be broken. Pride, pride, pride. If we do nothing else today but each make a renewed commitment that says, God, I want to humble myself before you. I want to stop and be thankful for what you've done for me. I want to see myself for who I am, for who you've made me. I want to remember who I was. I want to think about who you're calling me to be. I want to walk in humility. That can be a game changer for you and for me. So, that's it. We've come to the end of this passage. Let's quickly summarize as we close. What about you? What does love require of you in these five commands? It requires unity of mind. So what do? It means we fight for unity in our fellowship. We may disagree about things we ought to do around here, but let's fight for unity about our reason for doing it, that it's about seeing others come to Christ. It's about growing in discipleship. And then you yourself need to engage in some way. Find a way to lean in. Unity of mind. Second, what does love require of me? Sympathy. Ask God to help you lay aside your personal assumptions and see others the way he sees them. Remember this, I've said it before, but you've never locked eyes with someone that Jesus doesn't love. Never. You will not lock eyes with someone today that he doesn't love. Try to see them the way he sees them. What does love require of me and you? Brotherly love. Ask God to help us to work on relationship and not just transaction at church. Ask him to help us to begin to grow in that way and to work that way. Begin to be a noticer. Listen, if you want to be in relationship with others, this is how you can help. It doesn't matter that we have 60 people who serve on a rotating basis as greeters and will be at the parking lot and the doors and every intersection in our hallways and right here to say hello to someone. If someone gets, listen, let me just be real for a minute. If someone is spoken to, a first-time guest at our church, 7 times on their way in, and that's our goal. Our goal is that our greeters are like shark's teeth, that everywhere you go, if the first row doesn't get you, the second row is going to. That everywhere you go, someone's going to speak along the way. But can I be real? People can say, oh, well, you are a welcoming church, but there's a big difference between being welcoming and being friendly. Because you can welcome people at the door and you can welcome people. People have a calling to do that. But when they come and sit in the seat, if they sit in the seat in front of you, behind you, beside you, and we never speak, then people will leave here saying, well, they welcomed me well, but it was not a friendly place to be. Now, I hope that's not been your experience, but friends, here's what I want to say to you. Every believer in this room, if you're a regular part of our church or a member, you part of your calling is to live out this idea of brotherly love and relationship, and that means I need you to be a noticer. We need you to notice people around you. It's a shame. I won't go so far to say a sin, but I'll say it is a shame if anyone comes and sits down in this room and 30 seconds goes by and someone hasn't stood up and spoken to them in some way. Friends, that's all of us. We all need relationship. Otherwise, what's the point? We need that. So I hope that we will. Go back to that scripture that I read at the beginning, that I read this morning as I was eating breakfast in Romans chapter 5. He says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. That's part of our calling. What God has called us to do. What does love require of you? Not only that, but a tender heart to show compassion. If you struggle to feel compassion anymore, ask the Holy Spirit to help you with this. And then lastly, what does love require of you and me? A humble mind. See yourself as God sees you. Remember who you were. Look at what he's making you to be. Make a plan to live out your gratitude for that today. We can do all of these things because of Jesus in us. 1 Peter tells us this. If you'll start from the beginning of this book and go all the way to the end, he will call us a living hope. He will say we have the living stone. We are living stones. He will call you a royal priest. He will call you a holy people. He will tell you you're a people belonging to God. He will tell you that you have the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through you. All that in this same book, in the context of this one verse that we've read. Why is that important? Because the truth is, we will never live out these five simple commands in 2025 apart from the Holy Spirit's power in us. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to lead. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to transform us and make us new. Let's do that. Would you pray with me? Father God, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would work in the hearts of every believer in this room. Help us to have unity of mind. Help us to be united on the fact that we agree that our calling is to engage the lost. Our calling is to celebrate Jesus. Our calling is to grow in discipleship. God, help every believer in this room to have sympathy. Lord, help me not to forget to see people the way you see them. Help me not to assume their context has always been the same as mine. God, give me insight into the people I meet, into what's going on in their life, that I can be in relationship with them. Father, you've called us to brotherly love. Lord, help us to not want just a transaction at church, but relationships with others. God, you've called us to a tender heart. Lord, help me to have compassion. Stir it up. God, I pray that you'd break my heart for what breaks yours. I pray you'd break the heart of every person in this room for what breaks your heart. And God, help us to walk humbly, remembering who we were, what you did for us, and who you've made us to be. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.